This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to Jab Cross Hook, a fan-sided fight show with your hosts, Ian McMillan, Amy Kaplan, and Reed Wallach.
It is Jab Cross Hook. It is myself. It is Amy Kaplan. It's Reed Wallach. Getting off to a little bit of a hot start in today's show. UFC 275 recap. We are also going to be talking about this week's UFC Austin card, and we're going to be doing our bet draft with that. We will have a guest on for that. It's been a while since we've had a guest on for the draft. But first, let's do a little recap, and we are going to have PFL fighter on Rob Wilkinson to talk his fight this weekend. So jam-packed show once again. I think it's the first time we've had two guests in one show, possibly. So that's pretty exciting.
One time before.
Maybe one. You're right. I think maybe one other time before. But you are right there at PFL Media Day, it looks like.
Boots on the ground.
Yeah, I'm like, where am
I? Boots on the ground at PFL.
That's so weird, trying to point to.
Since you're right there, I'm assuming you don't have a drink.
No drink. I actually tried to find one, but there is no drink on this floor, so there will be no drink. I don't even have water.
Oh, nothing.
This might be my lucky charm, though. Maybe I should just go with no drink.
Could be.
Yeah. Speaking of lucky charms, another losing draft for me. Real cold streak. So
tough.
No, I'm like, this is like, I keep saying, like, it gets worse and worse for me. So we stick with the fridge. I don't deserve any victory wine, champagne, nothing special from the bodega. So we stick with the Bud Light in the fridge. And also, we have to kill it because it's been sitting in the fridge for too long. So thank you to the roommates for letting me take some more beer. And I'll stick with my cheap beer because I'm a loser right now. I got to get back off the schneid.
You would not have that problem if I was one of your roommates, because the beer lasts maximum 48 hours in the apartment that I'm living in. I had a beer actually, because my vacation starts tomorrow night, so I was going to have a little vacation beer, but I realized right before the show that I won again. I'm on fire in these UFC drafts, so because of that, I had to quickly go pour myself victory wine. I'm going to keep the tradition alive. I will sip this a little bit. Oh, I don't even big like sip. White
big
wine.
Sip. That was a big sip.
But that's the only thing that's here. And then afterwards, I got a little Samuel Adams. So my vacation is getting off to a hot start here. So there you have it. Where do we want to go next? Do we want to talk UFC 275? Do we want to talk PFL? Where do you want to go?
I mean, I feel like I should talk about PFL since I'm here.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Okay, so PFL, obviously Media Day today. We've got lightweights, light heavyweights. It is the semi round. I don't know what not the playoffs, not quite there. It's a good card. I mean, you've got Clay Collard and Alex Martinez as the main event, which, if you guys remember, Clay Collard is kind of a killer, and he's one of those guys I feel like is not getting the shine he deserves. So just that main event is worth tuning in for, in my opinion. Lots of good fights.
And that is on Friday night, correct?
Friday night, ESPN.
Amy, just because I think PFL is a little less covered than the other ones, of course, obviously it's on ESPN, though, and I think it's an emerging one of these MMA circuits, and it's kind of a feeding ground for the UFC. Could you maybe give some more insight into the playoffs and this tournament style? And I know we're going to talk to Robin a little bit. He has a fight coming up this weekend, but maybe give a little bit more insight to the viewers that aren't as familiar with PFL and what they're missing.
Yeah, so PFL is really fun because you, in the beginning of the season, you know exactly who's in the tournament. They fight each other and they get a couple chances to fight different fights. So you're not like out if you lose one, and then it's points. So let's say you get a finish in the first round. I think it's 6 points. If you get a decision, it's 3 points. If you miss weight, you get deducted points. So there's a lot of like fun ways to get points and to have not fun to take it away. But you know what I mean? There's like, it feels like everything has a reason. And it's, I like that you can lose a fight and you're not out of it completely, because everybody has a bad night, you know. It's so it's exciting. It really gives people a chance to pick somebody in the beginning and kind of root for them throughout. You know, it's not, there's not so many names that you're, you know, with the UFC, there's like what, 500 fighters. You can't possibly know them all, but PFL, you've got, I don't know, like 30 to watch the whole year. So yeah. I don't know. I like the format. It's a really cool, interesting format.
I agree.
outside of obviously Rob Wilkinson's fight and the fight that you brought up a couple minutes ago, any other fights at PFL this weekend that we should keep an eye on?
Oh my gosh, so many. So I have the fight card here. Oh gosh. Oh, which one do I? Okay. Well, obviously Jeremy Stephens and Miles Price. Like Jeremy Stephens is again.
Everyone
like,
knows Jeremy Stephens.
Yeah, you got to watch Jeremy. Sure. It's kind of crazy because this guy Miles Price, his first fight was Anthony Pettis. Second fight is going to be Jeremy Stephens, which is like the hardest two fights of the tournament. And he's just like happy to be here. I don't know. It's fun, and so it's like it's nice to see. This is going to sound weird, but it's nice to see fighters like Anthony Pettis come in and lose because it shows that there's talent outside of the UFC, really, really good talent. And Clay Collard, to me, is one of those guys that I think could be the face of PFL. And he's kind of the – I know I already spoke about him a little bit, but he's the guy to keep an eye on. But, I mean, there's former champions. There's Antonio Carlos Jr., who – potentially could be another champion this season. That's another thing that's cool is you become a champion at the end of the season. And then the next season you start from scratch again. You're not the champion anymore. You have your belt from that year, but it's anybody's game. And so it's really exciting to see how many times you could win the title and have to do it again. So it's kind of a cool, unique experience.
It's kind of more built like other professional sports are, as opposed where like UFC is kind of takes the boxing model. PFL tries to a little bit more take a model from that's a little bit closer to other professional sports.
Yeah, I love the tournament idea. I wish that the betting more, you know, obviously I'm thinking about the betting side of it, but like bet it like the NCAA tournament, like get on a fighter, ride them all the way to the title.
Yeah, and they also I don't know if they've done it yet. I don't think they did it yet, but they were talking about doing a combine where all these athletes could come. I mean, they were talking about having NFL athletes, NBA athletes come and try and see what they could do as far as MMA goes, and then maybe sign them for the tournament. And then they also had a challenger series to start the tournament where sort of like the contender series at the end of the night, they picked somebody to be able to go into the tournament. So it's kind of fun. Each year they kind of get something new and build on it.
Now, we are going to talk a little more PFL when Rob Wilkinson joins us, but let's talk a little UFC. Let's recap last weekend's card really quick. Let's start off in the obvious starting point, which is the main event. Glover and Jiří, obviously one of the better fights that we've seen. Fight of the year, possibly, or even Reed is calling it one of the best fights of all time. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but make your case.
Okay. I am not necessarily, first of all, there's been 275 UFC pay-per-views. There's been countless UFC fight nights. When I'm talking, I'll dumb it down, I guess, a little bit more. Like, best light heavyweight title fight ever, I think that is for sure. What, you think like Gustafsson versus John Jones?
No, I think it was better than that one, but I think Forrest Griffin and you know who I'm talking about.
Stephen Bonner, Forrest Griffin, the first Ultimate Fighter finale.
Yeah,
that's Reed, that's the fight that kicked off the sport. You got to go back and watch that.
Okay, but to watch that fight, first of all, every round had at least four or five momentum swings. The fight was up in the I think Glover was winning, and we could get into that after. But in terms of just a fight that had so many swings with the stakes that high, and for not only Glover to look that good at 42, but for Jiří, who was questioned all weekend in this lead-up in his camp, can he grapple with Glover? I didn't think he could. He looked great on the ground. I know he was, like, down now, but he was getting out of positions. He was getting top control, and obviously he ended up winning by submission, which if you had Jiří to win by submission in round five, stop betting. Just, like, that is it. It doesn't get better than that. You're done.
Yeah.
But to me – in terms, I guess maybe I'm getting my UFC historians on me that say it's not. I think it's up there for one of the best fights I've ever seen. Nonstop action, momentum swings left and right. Each round each fighter had their own moments. Nonstop action. I thought it was amazing. I think without a doubt, I know it's only June, we're halfway through the year, but fight of the year, no question. This is that was an absolute banger. It was sick. The entire fight, round by round.
Really quick, Reed, I just want to say, because you said if you had, you know, Jiří by submission in round five, did you see what the odds were for that?
It had to have been over 100 to 1.
So Adam Martin tweeted this out. I just searched it while you were talking. Geary to win by fifth round submission was 200-1. So if you bet $1 on that to happen, you would have walked away with a $200 profit. Not a bad little bet if anyone out there did that.
I was shocked that that's how it ended, but I truly think that was one of the best fights I've ever seen. I thought it was
a very good fight. I don't want to take away from the fight. It was a very, very, very good fight.
It was. It also wasn't like crazy in terms of like chaotic. It was like a well fought fight, if you know what I'm trying to say. Like, it wasn't like sloppy and all over the place, and these guys were kind of just like throwing their hands everywhere. Like, it was a technically sound, high level UFC fight.
Maybe a part of it for me is that the storyline of the fight didn't intrigue me as much as past fights have, and maybe that takes away. I mean, obviously Glover is a great story. Yuri's a young and up and coming fighter, but maybe this speaks more to the UFC's job in marketing these big fights. But I just didn't care as much as I have in other past big fights, and maybe that's kind of swaying my opinion a little bit.
That's fair. Anyway, what do you think?
I mean, I think it was a great fight. I wouldn't give it fight of the year. I think it's close. I think I would still give Gilbert Burns versus Khamzat Chimaev fight of the year.
I'm still on this one.
But I would not be upset if it was named fight of the year. You know, like, I think it was a great fight for sure. I think maybe I'm just bitter because it didn't end the way I wanted it to. So maybe that's why I'm like, no, you know, I've got some bitterness there. Great fight.
I was so shocked because also when we were watching, like, the camera wasn't, it was like had like that inside the cage look. So you couldn't really see what was going on. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you hear John Anik go, like, it's over. He tapped or something. So like the view wasn't so great of the submissions. Yeah. So it happened so quickly. And someone got like the screen grab of like Glover on top of Yuri with like 75 seconds left, just ground and pounding. And then, like, 60 seconds later, Yuri's on top of Glover, like, tapping him out. Like, the swings of that fight were crazy. I was sitting there watching, could not believe what was going on.
Did you think you guys were all going to lose the draft? Because imagine if Glover had won.
Oh, yeah.
You would have won the draft.
I would have won. So we both lost.
I saw the scorecards after the fight. Mm-hmm. I thought, I mean, obviously 30 seconds could change the fight, but I thought Glover was... he was going to win that fight if he avoided getting finished. I thought he.
Did they release the scorecards? I didn't see them.
Yeah, I have them.
Yeah, if you want to read them off, Amy, I could kind of talk while you're.
Yeah, so I have Glover here. You know what? Let me see if I can send it to our producers and see if they can get it up on the.
Yeah, but I thought Glover had that fight, and he kind of. I don't want to say sloppy is the right word, but he was in some really advantageous positions and he put himself into trouble with kind of some sloppy technique, in my opinion. I mean, credit to Yuri for showing up to the fight, but I thought Glover made life more difficult for himself at times.
Yeah, there was one time specifically, I don't know, it was either the fourth or fifth round, he had Yuri on the ropes and then he went for a guillotine, which is
that was ridiculous.
An unbelievable move.
I think, like, it might have been
especially
the start
that late
round.
In the fight. Because, like, both of you are so, like, sweaty to pull guard into guillotine, like, with how sweaty you two are, it's going to be almost impossible to pull off. Here are the scorecards. Obviously, we don't have the scores for round five. So one judge had Glover 39-37. The other had 30. So it actually would have come down, actually, that the final round would have been important. Because mm-hmm. then another judge had it tied. So if Yuri would have, like, if the judges would have gave Yuri the last round, he would have won the fight based on, it would have been a draw. No.
Yeah, it would have been draw. No, it would have been.
That, oh, yeah, because one guy gave Yuri a 10-8 in the third round, so it would have been a draw. Wow, fascinating. We almost saw a draw.
That 10-8 is – that's wrong. Like, come on.
I don't know. That wasn't a 10-8. It was a 10-9.
What?
I didn't think any round was a 10-8.
I know. I remember – like, Yuri, obviously, they kind of dominated. Glover was in trouble. But, like, 10-8 in a championship round? Like, give me a break. Come on.
Imagine, though, if it had been a draw. Like, I almost would have felt better if it being a draw. Like, I would have been like, okay, I get it. You got, but
they
got
to run that back.
A rematch. Yeah, that's – well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, what do you do? Because Glover only has so many fights left in his body and in his contract. So it makes sense to give him the rematch, especially after a fight like that. I just don't want to see him fight anybody else in his last fight.
I agree. I also – you look like – I know Yuri got, like, some really big shots on him. Like, I thought Glover held up great. Like, I thought he looked awesome. I know he said he was exhausted after the fight, rightfully so, you know, 25 minutes like that. But I thought he looked great. like, even though he lost the fight, like, still a good bet. I had Glover also. Like, I lost, obviously, whoop-de-doo, but I thought that fight was much more of a coin flip than Jiří being a minus 200 favorite. If they fought again, I think the odds, maybe Jiří's slight favorite. Maybe even Glover, like, probably like minus 110 each way, honestly.
Yeah, do you want to move on to the co-main event? Because that was obviously an interesting storyline as well. Valentina Shevchenko did get the win, but it did not come without controversy. Santos broke her orbital bone. Shevchenko got the decision. A lot of people thought that it was the wrong decision. It is worth noting, though, that she defended her title for the seventh time, which broke Ronda Rousey's record. So it was a big win for her. Thoughts on this fight? I thought it was a close fight. I didn't think it was a robbery, as some people are calling it. I thought it was a close fight. I thought you could have gave Shevchenko the first couple rounds. I'm fine with the decision. I think it probably was the wrong one, but it wasn't bad enough where I'm, you know, pissed off about it.
Yeah, definitely not a robbery in any sense of the word, for sure. I think that the reason why I think people are upset is because of that headbutt, and because that really changed the trajectory of the fight, or at least it appeared that that's what changed the trajectory of the fight. And I gave Santos the first three rounds. Okay. So I definitely think that Santos won that fight, but again, it's so close. I wouldn't call it a robbery. I also want to see that run back.
I mean, it has to, because who else is going to challenge that division?
There's nobody else.
That's obviously going to, I would think, be going back for a second round.
Yeah, I didn't have a super strong opinion on this one. Santos probably should have won, and it sucks that we kind of reside to this. But again, I'm kind of you have to definitively beat the champ to win that fight, especially a fight that close with the margins like that. So
I don't know if I agree with that, though. That's the thing that gets brought up all the time, but that's not in the rule book.
No, I'm not saying I think Santos probably should have won that fight, but I could see how the judges see it that way. Again, it's not fair, but that's how I see it. So if you're not gonna win definitively, I don't feel you lost, you know? I remember that Robert Whittaker fight from earlier this year against Izzy. He probably should have won, but did he really do enough to win the title? You know, I didn't leave that fight going Santos probably should have, Santos got robbed. It is what it is.
Right.
Wasn't a pre-decision.
It is interesting, though, because I was just trying to think, and I remember that the Rose fight did not, Rose against Carla, where a lot of people were saying you got to beat the champ to beat the champ. Wasn't the case in that fight.
Well, or the champ just literally does nothing but stands in the
game. I guess a little bit of a different situation in that fight where there's literally.
You got to at least prove you're the champ.
Yes. All right. And then the other big fight was obviously Weili Zhang knocking out Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Joanna Jędrzejczyk claims that she has retired. She wants to move on. She wants to have a family. I think she's in her mid-30s now, so I guess now would be the time to do it. I am always kind of skeptical because I joke about this all the time. UFC fighters, it feels like they retire at least five times before they're actually done for good. But it seems like she might be done. That's obviously very sad. I talked about it on the show last week, even though I picked against Joanna. I love Joanna. I think she was a trailblazer for women's MMA, one of my favorite fighters of all time. Sad to see her go out that way, but that's pretty rare. It does a UFC career, you know, finish on top. So, and also props to Weili. That was an unbelievable knockout. Any thoughts on that fight?
Yeah. Shout out me for kind of thinking hey, if she loses, is she done? I brought that up last week. And then she retired. I was like, oh, what a thought there. But no, I mean, wild knockout. So yeah.
I don't think she's done though. I think she's going to have a baby, and I think she's going to realize she can come back. I think she's going to do something kind of like what Misha did, where she kind of gets her life in order, figures things out, and then she's going to come back.
Yep. Perfect comparison. Cause when you were talking, that was exactly what I was thinking of, was Misha Tate, who retired for a number of years. Now I will say Joanna's 34. How old's Misha Tate?
She's old. She's
35, so she's only a year older than Joanna, and she did this a few years ago when she retired. So it is kind of late in Joanna's life to now take off. She'll be 36, 37 by the time she comes back. Not impossible, not saying she won't, but I would point that out as being one slight difference. than Misha. Misha kind of burst onto like the public eye in mixed martial arts earlier in her life than Ioana did. Obviously, Ioana was big over in Poland, but she was kind of, what, late 20s by the time she came over to the UFC. So a little bit of a different situation, but I would agree. I think UFC fighters like retire like 3 to 5 times before they actually retire. This is retirement number one for Ioana.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what about Zhang now getting a probably title fight against Carla Esparza?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with it. And Carla should plan her funeral now. Because
you think so?
No.
Whoa. Amy Kaplan with a hot take.
It's going to be bleak.
No. I guarantee you Weili Zhang will not just, you know, dance around the cage for 25 minutes. Right. I guarantee she will.
Carla definitely hopes she does.
Throwing punches.
Yeah.
Yes.
Carla's like, I know my perfect game plan.
Yeah, slow this fight down. Just push it against the cage.
That weight class could just be like a rotating door of champions. Mm-hmm. Like Weili could win the title, and then Rose comes back and beats her, and then yeah. Carla beats Rose again, and it just keeps going round and round. Any other UFC 275 thoughts?
Just that I think it was a card that even I was like, about it, and it turned out to be, I think probably I would give it fight card of the year so far. It was like sneaky good. Like really, really good.
Yeah, I definitely think it outdid its expectations.
Yeah.
I want to look back now at the pay-per-views from this year and say.
Yeah, I mean, the main card had 4 of the 5 fights were on the main card were finishes. 3 knockouts and a submission. 2 knockouts in the prelims. Wasn't a very big card. Was a pretty slim card for being a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Only 6 prelim fights and 5 main card fights. So, yeah, I mean, UFC obviously London. I enjoyed it. I won the draft, so I was pretty happy with it.
Yeah, UFC London, when it would be like, I think my next, like those two so far are at my top.
For yeah, the just doing a quick scroll through like the fight cards, at least from a pay-per-view perspective, this is probably the fight card of the year so far.
Yeah.
I think compared to all the other pay-per-views, I think so.
And the next big pay-per-view coming up, UFC 276, at the start of July, Israel Adesanya against Jared Cannonier and Alexander Volkanovski and Max Holloway fighting again. So that will be a very good card as well. Misha Tate on that card as well. Sean O'Malley's on that card. Robbie Lawler coming back to fight on that card against Brian Barberina. Uriah Hall on that card. Brad Tavares on that card. That's a stack card coming up at the start of July, mm-hmm. which the UFC usually does. Is they usually like to stack that 4th of July weekend card. So
international fight week, baby.
Yes. Obviously getting in front of myself here a little bit, but I was just looking forward to seeing what the next big pay-per-view was. That should be a good one. No Rob Wilkinson so far. We'll hang on to see if he joins us. Obviously it is his fight week. He's in the middle of the weight cut. Would not blame him if he ends up being too busy, which who was it a few weeks ago who ended up being too busy, had a similar situation. It's always more forgiving for fighters on fight week. And I mean, don't forget with PFL being Friday night, as opposed to if we were interviewing a UFC fighter where they take place on Saturday, like this is even closer to his fight than, you know.
Yeah, he's weighing in at like what, like 12 hours or something.
Right.
Yeah, I was surprised that he was down to do it. So,
yeah. So if he joins us, that'll be great. If not, we'll just keep on going with the show. Any other thoughts? Because I guess right now is when we are jumping into the interview with Rob Wilkinson, but we still got to get to the draft. Should we just jump into the draft? Is there anything else? I did see who retired today. I saw someone retired today. Was it Zabit?
Yes. Yeah. He's going to medical school to be a doctor.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's admirable.
Very admirable. Also, a lot fewer punches to the face.
Yeah.
They don't punch in the face in medical school?
I don't know.
Imagine, like you're a UFC fan and you just like happen to go to the ER for something and then he comes out and he's like, I'm going to cast your broken leg. And you're just like, that's, I don't know. I think that's cool.
Did you also see who's cut today?
Yeah. No. Our crazy
fan favorite Askar Morozov did not make it through the UFC roster purge.
Poor
what a career.
That is interesting. What a storied UFC career. All that faking, lying, fraudulent, all for first round finish and then getting cut.
And ironically, he was supposed to fight in the PFL as well, and he did not make it to his fight for the PFL. So
I would say
they're not like him around here either.
outside of like regional circuit in Eastern Europe, I would say his MMA career is pretty much done.
I bet BKFC picks him up. We were talking about that earlier, though.
Yep, that's a good call.
Oh, speaking of BKFC, Michael Venom Page versus Mike Perry. They just announced that.
What's that?
Is Bellator just allowing Venom Page fighting in that?
Yeah. I mean, it's because they know he's going to kill Mike Perry. I mean, it's easy payday for MVP.
Yeah, but still, the thing with bare knuckle fighting, though, is like you could – it's a lot easier to get hurt. Like, you could break hands pretty quick.
Yeah.
It's a risky move.
Bellator must have a plan. I can't imagine – or they don't have a plan and they're stalling. You know what I mean?
Right.
So –
I did have one final comment about Zabit, because obviously it is good for it. Like, I'm happy for him. He's going to medical school. Obviously he's, you know, going to have a great career and make a lot of money doing that. But that will go down as one of the biggest what ifs in UFC history. It's selfishly, I'm upset that I don't get to see him play with his career, because he was undefeated in the UFC, 18-1 overall record, beat Calvin Kattar in his last fight, beat Jeremy Stephens before that. Like, this is a guy who was on a path to a UFC title, possibly being one of the better fighters in his weight class of all time, and now he's done. So once again, I'm happy for him. I mean, it seems like the right and smart decision, probably. I'm just selfishly, that will go down for the rest of, in my opinion, the history of the sport as one of the biggest what ifs.
Yeah,
I just had to say that, because it's not like he was just an average fighter who was just, you know, win a couple, lose a couple. This is a guy who is probably, in all likelihood, going to win the belt.
So. He was 18-1, I think, right? Something like that.
Yeah, 18-1 overall. Yes, 6-0 in the UFC.
Yeah, I mean,
so, yeah, did want to say about that. All right, do we just want to get in the draft? And if Rob does join us, we can just jump into the interview and pause the draft halfway through. We may as well jump into the draft here.
Yeah, I have a feeling he's probably in a bathtub, dying.
Yeah. Probably not going to join us. If he does, we can always pause the draft halfway through and ask him a few questions. So, but let's jump into the draft. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, we have a guest for the draft joining us this time.
Wait, this is terrible lighting. Hold on. Terrible lighting. Scoot.
Yeah. Hello, it is Alex. How do we pronounce your last name? Behunin?
Behunin.
Oh, okay, that was close enough. That was close.
What's up, guys?
This is the first time we've done two people in one box.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. This is the first four-person draft that we've done in a while for this weekend's UFC card. I assume, did Amy explain the rules of the draft to you?
Not really.
This All right, was so decided, like, moments before the show started.
Okay, then for you and for the viewers who haven't watched the past show, it is a snake draft. We are drafting bets for this weekend's UFC card, drafting fighters. So we go based on odds. When a fighter gets selected, nobody else can select that person. We make three picks, so it is three total rounds. And then whoever finishes up the most units, or, God forbid, down the fewest amount of units, if we all lose this weekend, will be declared the winner. So it is a snake draft. So whoever picks first, it goes 1, 2, 3, and then in this case, 4. And then whoever picks last picks first. The next round, we go back down and then back up. So 3 rounds, UFC. Hopefully, Amy can show you the list of fighters with their odds there. Are you a betting man, Alex? Do you bet on UFC fights?
I didn't for the longest time because I lived in California and it was basically illegal. And now that I live in Las Vegas, I'm slowly getting into it.
Wait, it's legal?
Well, no. I mean, it's online betting is not legal in Vegas.
No, I was being tongue-in-cheek.
No, but online betting is illegal there. So
yeah, you have to do it in the sports book, right?
Yeah, or other ways.
Or find someone in the parking lot, which I'm sure is littered with them. But
yeah, we have other ways. But yeah.
So you do. I mean, if you bet, then you understand odds, like the minus money is the favorite, plus money is the underdog, all that stuff.
Yes.
All right. Perfect. So I am the defending champion. So that means I do get to pick the order, of the draft. I'm going to go first. I will put Amy second. Alex, you can go third. And then Reed, I'll get you to a fourth, and you got back-to-back picks, first and second round.
Bring it.
All right. Let me see here. I'm going to tell our producers my pick. I wanted to get this pick right away. This is why I wanted to go first. I tried to go like second or third. I think it was third last week because I didn't think anyone was going to take my first overall pick. And then Reed ended up taking it. So I'm going to get Oat in front of this time. I'm going to take Josh Emmett in the main event. I'm going to go ahead right to the main event with the first overall pick plus 190. I think he has been improving quite a bit. He has the power to get the job done. But we've seen him kind of grow a little bit more patient in his last couple of fights as well. I like him as well. He's one of my favorite fighters in the UFC. I know, obviously, Calvin Kattar is the favorite in this one, but I'm going to go a little bit of an underdog in the main event. I think Josh Emmett can get it done. I just, like I said, he's one of my favorite fighters. I'm a little biased in that fact, but I like how he's grown a little bit more patient in his last couple of fights. So Josh Emmett's off the board first overall. And I know Amy loves her underdog, so I had a feeling that she might go that direction. I don't know if that's – no, you weren't? Okay, so then maybe I wasted my first overall pick. Then,
yeah, you but, did. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's my first overall pick. Amy, you are on the clock.
Okay, well, Alex is shaking his head because I told him beforehand who I was picking, and he wants to pick this guy. So when you said I was going second, I was like, good. I'm picking Joe Lozon.
That was my pick.
Yes. Reed, because last time this fight was going to happen, Reed took him in the draft, and then obviously the fight got canceled. So literally yeah, stole an actual literal pick from Reed.
We are back in on Joe. I completely agree.
I totally forgot about, but I think my pick then was Cerrone, right?
Yeah. So
why the flip-flop?
Wait, but was Cerrone a favorite or underdog then? Is it the same
odds?
He was
a favorite then.
He was a favorite, yeah.
Oh, maybe it was my – okay, so my reasoning part of it is because of the way I saw him during fight week. He didn't – like, when I'm talking about Cerrone, he didn't look good. Like, he looked very sickly. I mean, obviously, he literally got sick. I'm just worried that he should not be having this fight now. Before, I was like, it's Cowboy. He can do anything. Now, I'm not so sure. I'm just a little uneasy, so I'm going with Joe. Good old Joe. But I think I said this on a different podcast, not that I'm cheating on our podcast, but I was a guest on our guest's podcast. It was like a thing, you know. What I would really like from this fight is a 3-round war, fought to a draw. They both retire at the same time and walk off with their hands together raised. Champions. That's what I want to happen.
Didn't Cerrone say he's trying to get to – I forget what the milestone is, but isn't he trying to get to a milestone and he has to fight a few more times to get there?
I
forget
what the milestone is.
A certain amount of fights in UFC or something? I don't remember.
Yeah, I bet Lozon again. And then this time I took him to win round one knockout at 10-1. I think he's going to – I don't think Cal – like, he, like, dropped out 2 hours before the fight because he had food poisoning or something. I don't know. And then – Lozon like went on Ariel Helwani's pod and said like it didn't look like he wanted to be there like Amy said. So I think Lozon might make quick work of him. I think it seems like there's like one guy that wants to be in the cage and the other one doesn't.
I'm just really upset because I just sent the pick for Alex to our producers and it was my number two pick. Okay. He knows that it's payback.
This is a tough one box draft.
Yeah.
You guys are stealing each other's picks.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, go ahead.
Well, I'm very disappointed because I wanted Joe Lozon by first round knockout. But Amy took it, I think, just because. So I am, for my first pick, I'm picking Gurram Kutalazde. I think that this fight is the best fight on the card. And it is they're two very high level lightweights, man, and I think they both could be top 15 easily. And it's Gurram's first fight back in over 2 years. He beat Gamrot in his UFC debut, you know, controversially. But yeah, I am picking Gurram
because I was gonna pick him.
each other's picks.
I'm not inviting anybody on this show ever again.
You can't be giving up your picks beforehand, Amy. That's on you.
Well, I didn't think he'd be a guest. Okay.
All right. Okay, so Reed, it is on you for the final pick of the first round.
Yeah, so first pick, obviously I wanted Joe Lozon, so I'm pissed that I couldn't get him for another draft. But I'm going to go Court McGee. I think this fight might get a little sloppy, but it seems like Ian likes Jeremiah Wells. But McGee's been able to hold up in his career, really tough. And Jeremiah Wells, like, who has this guy fought? He's fought a bunch of trash cans. I'm not really super impressed. McGee isn't going to wow you necessarily, but as a small favorite, I think if this gets out of the first round and he's able to hold up, I think he's going to take over. This screams McGee decision, McGee maybe like late, not get like ground and pound because Wells is out of gas. Who has this guy fought to really deserve to be a pick'em against at least a veteran? The guy's been in the cage before with much better competition.
I just like that you called them trash cans because I thought it was tomato cans.
Tomato cans, trash cans.
Same thing. Trash cans.
Just, yeah, they're not the greatest quality of competition.
Any version of can works. all right, so that's the first round. I believe we have a recap graphic for the first round. If we want to bring that up, and then we'll jump right in the second round, then Reed can get his first pick in the second round ready. Reed, the only guy to go with a favorite, slight favorite, but Court McGee at minus 120. Alex went Kuda. Oh boy. Kuda Talaidze. Kuda. +135. Amy went Joe Lozon +145. And I went Josh Emmett. Rare for me to take the biggest underdog in a round, but I'm going Emmett +190. First overall. Did I waste my first overall pick? Was anybody else going to take Josh Emmett in the first round?
No. Well, I might have. If the other, probably not.
Well, so just 2 weeks in. 2 weeks in a row, I made the bad decision about which order the draft should be, but that's okay. One last week, so that's okay.
Yeah, just a quick thought on the main event. It's going to be a war, and I'm pumped for that. I think it's going to be a sick fight. Cater, there was a stat. He's absorbed the most strikes without being knocked down in the UFC, and maybe the chin falls off, but, I mean, he went to war with Holloway last year, then came back and absolutely messed up Giga Chikadze, so... Like, Emmett, like, his only path is, like, he's going to have to just, like, win a stand-up battle, and I think Cater's the more polished striker. So I'm not rushing to bet Josh Emmett. That's kind of my thought. But all I might not bet Cater. I'm not, you know, it's a big line, obviously.
Cater is still on the board if someone wanted to draft him, so we'll see if someone does. But, Alex, it is back to you for your first pick of the second round.
No,
oh, you didn't? All right,
that
sorry.
That was just
my mistake. right.
I'm going to go big underdog, another prelim, Maria Oliveira. I don't love a lot on this card, but I think this is a good spot as a big underdog. And I just don't really know why Gloria DePaula is a big this big of a favorite. Maybe there's a reason that I'm just not seeing. But Oliveira has more fights. She's fought the much better competition. She's 0-2 in the UFC, but lost to Marina Rodriguez, who I hold in very high regard. And then she also lost to Tabitha Ritchie, who I faded her last fight a few weeks ago against Ketlin Vieira, and she beat her. Or not Ketlin Vieira, Pollyanna Vienna. The last name of the V confused me. But so maybe that's a better loss than I expected. So big underdog. DePaula hasn't really done much. She's 6-4 overall. She's a smaller fighter. So I'll take Oliveira as a big underdog. +220, that's a crazy line. So, you know, I'm taking Amy's path here in the second round.
Copycat. All right.
No arguments for me. Big underdog from Reed, though. We'll see. Trying to get aggressive to try to break my streak.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, go ahead with your first pick of the second round.
I'm going Joaquin Buckley. It is a killer be killed fighter. He goes in there, he either knocks you out or he gets knocked out. Albert Drev, he's tough, but he showed that he was human in his last fight. And with that kind of in my mind, I think Buckley can catch him. It's just if Buckley can stuff his takedowns, and that's to be seen. But I believe that if Albert gets tired at any point, I think Buckley could chin him. So I'm going Buckley.
Big underdog draft.
Look at my list. Sorry. I'm covering up. We took it right off my fucking list.
There has been a total of one favorite taken so far, I believe. So big underdog draft. That's usually kind of how these drafts actually kind of go usually. So not a huge surprise. But if there's not any more comments on that fight, Amy, go ahead with your second round pick.
Okay, well, I had a theme. I was going to go with my first pick, and then I was going to pick the two Georgians just because, you know, me and Georgia. But this one here already took one of them. So I will take the other, Roman Dulitse. I know that's a pretty big A lot of people are kind of shocked by that pick, but I don't know, a Georgian power. And there was some controversy, a little bit of personal controversy on this card. There were some two fighters that were fighting over a girl who were both scheduled for this card, and one of them was removed from the card. Ooh. And Roman, the other one. So I'm going to go with Roman. I don't know why. It's just there's like, I like a story there. Plus, he's Georgian. Come on. You can Google it. Just Google it. We're not going to get into the details. Google it.
Once again, another Amy is keeping the theme going of just underdogs. So how many picks? 7 picks so far this draft, and 6 of them have been underdogs. So
yeah.
Excuse me. It is the draft of underdogs, and I'm going to go with another underdog. So we're going to make it 7 of 8 here. I kind of already alluded to it. I'm going to go Jeremiah Wells against Court McGee. I'm shocked that Free took Court McGee. Get out here with Court McGee. He's 37 years old. He's coming off 2 wins, I know, but I mean, those kind of weren't impressive fights. He lost, you know, 5 of 6 before that. Now he's going to take on, what's that?
He's on a run now. He's putting it together.
I don't think you can call 2 fights against Cannes runs. Now he's taking on Jeremiah Wells, who's 2-0. In the UFC, both finishes, second round knockout against Warley Alves, and then his last fight was a first round submission. Like, come on, he's not going to be able to.
Those tomato cans are in my cabinet right now. Give me a break. Meanwhile,
give me a break with Court McGee. What is this, 2008?
How about Jeremiah Wells is 35 and has 13 pro fights to his name? That concerns me. Last time,
I was still in high school when Court McGee was looked at as being a good fighter.
Gonna be a renaissance.
When he was on a run from, I'm looking at his record now, from like 2008 to 2011. I was like, literally, when I was in high school, was when Court McGee was good. No one here, Court McGee. With all due respect to Court McGee. I'll take Jeremiah Wells, even money though. I would set him as a slight favorite. So getting him in plus money, I'll take it. So that wraps up round 2. We got 1 round to go, but first, if we have the round 2 recap graphic, there it is. Look at me going 2 underdogs, kind of out of character, and I'm getting away from my strategy that has won me these drafts in recent weeks. Amy also going 2 underdogs, 2 bigger underdogs. Joe Lozon plus 145. Doladize plus 200. Alex with Kuta Teladze plus 135 and Buckley plus 180. And then Court McGee for Reed minus 120 and Oliveira plus 220.
Kuta and Dolice.
That's what I said.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just repeating it.
It's a running bit on the show now, just how much I mispronounce these names. I just butcher them. But now I'm going to go against Amy. I went against Reed with my last pick of the second round. Now I'm going to go against Amy. Give me Donald Cerrone against Joe Lozon. He is the favorite for a reason. Joe Lozon, much like Court McGee, is well past his prime at this point. Joe Lozon, with all due respect to one of my top 3 favorite fighters in UFC history, Clay Guida. Joe Lozon lost to Clay Guida by knockout. First round, 1 minute knockout back in 2017, which was 5 years ago. Like, he's not getting better from that point. What is he? In his last 6 fights, he's 2-4. Like, I know Donald Cerrone hasn't exactly had the best record lately, but it hit the competition he's fighting. If Donald Cerrone went through those same 6 fighters, he'd probably be 6-0. Like, Donald Cerrone still has a little bit left in the tank. I don't think Joe Lozon does whatsoever. Gonna back Cowboy in this one. A little bit of a sizable favorite, but I think he's deserving of those odds. So give me Cerrone. I'm not gonna read too much into how he approached his fight before it got postponed. I think it probably got postponed for good reason, though. I think he has a better chance to win now than if he fought a few weeks ago, whenever that was supposed to be, or a couple.
Except he has to cut weight again.
So does Joe Lozon.
Yeah, but Joe Lozon didn't have trouble making weight last time.
He's gonna be fine. He's gonna be fine. Donald Cerrone minus 175 rounds on my draft.
Okay.
All right, Amy, it's back to you.
All right, I'm going with Gregory Rodriguez. I probably said that wrong too, because he's Brazilian. Rodriguez. Rodriguez. He's a favorite. I just love him. I think he's so much fun. He's such a good fighter, but he's also a good person. And you know me, I go with my heart. I like Julian Marquez as well, but, you know, I got to go with a one favorite this time. He's my favorite.
Big favor for you to take a minus 185. A little bit surprising. I do want to shout out, though, before we move on, Eduardo Bueno was in the chat saying Buckley round two TKO. Who was it to pick Buckley?
It would have been me if I hadn't invited this man.
So Eduardo was in the chat. He agrees. He didn't even call the shot round two. Not even a round two knockout. Specifically a TKO. So we'll see if that happens. Any thoughts on Amy's pick? Nope. All right. Let's keep. What?
I said, don't all jump at once.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep the train moving. Alex, your final pick of the draft.
I'm going.
I forgot to send it to. It's okay. You can talk.
I'm going Adrian Yanez. He's a big favorite. I think he does beat Tony Kelly, but on the flip side, I think minus 300 is a little steep. I think he should be around maybe like a minus 200, maybe a minus 150. Because Tony Kelly is really tough. He is a very tough fighter. I think some of these odds are maybe in his personal comments that he made. I think that kind of plays into it a little bit. So if Tony Kelly beats Adrian Yanez, I would not be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked, but these two are coming to bang. It's Adrian Yanez's first fight in front of a crowd and in the UFC, which is kind of crazy. I think he's in his home state of Texas, so I think he's gonna knock out Tony Kelly.
Do you guys know what he's talking about when he talks about what he said? Should we fill you in on that?
Yeah, I saw the news clipping, but you guys would know more than I would.
Yeah, he basically said in the corner about his girlfriend, Andrea Lee, was fighting. Who was she fighting? A Brazilian woman. And he said something about all Brazilians being dirty cheaters or cheaters. I don't know if he said dirty cheaters. So
wait, Tony Kelly said that or Yana said that?
No, Tony Kelly said it to Andrea, trying to pump her up for the fight, like between rounds. But the problem was that then he went on social media after when people were kind of roasting him for it and doubled down and was like, basically said, I'm sorry if you're offended, but I'm not sorry you're offended. Like, I don't give a fuck, basically. Mm-hmm. So he doubled down.
So he's going the Chael Sonnen road and just being borderline racist to Brazilians to.
Yeah.
Maybe a marketing move.
Super not borderline. Super just straight up racist. Yeah.
Chael Sonnen could get away with that back in like 2010, 2011. Don't know if he can get away with that.
Well, unfortunately, this is the second boyfriend of Andrea Lee's that has been turned out to be, you know, racist connotations to him. So
that's right.
That really didn't help him as well. So
not good.
That was bad.
Yeah, well, I got bad news for you guys. My last pick is Tony Kelly, as we just met. Yeah.
Wow, Reed.
Yeah, so I agree Yanez should be favored, but if Kelly could hold up and he's never been knocked out before, if he could get out of like the first round, second round, I mean, Yanez got a split decision victory last time, wasn't pretty, so like he gassed out a little bit. So I think Kelly could handle that early storm and I think pull away in this fight and maybe get a late finish, but backing a bad guy is not what I want to do, but I mean I got to get a win this week and I like the plus money here. I think it's like Alex said, it's a big price, so give me Tony Kelly. I guess I'm just the bad guy this week.
I do have to say
I don't support Tony Kelly, but I do support him for 15 minutes in the ring.
Well, there's something to say too about the fact that the MMA world is sort of putting a lot of weight on Yanez to finish him and to make him pay. And that may put some pressure on him to perform and maybe be a little more wild than he would feel.
He is a,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's a typically aggressive fighter. I mean, he's a knockout artist. So I think he's going to be looking to find that early finish. And if he doesn't, I kind of like Alex said, I just think it's a really wide price if we're betting it. Like, I think there's value on Kelly.
All right, so there's our UFC Austin draft. Are you two heading to the UFC after PFL on Friday or no?
No. We'll watch, but we will not be there.
Interesting. All right, let's bring up the final graphic to recap the draft, and then we think we can wrap things up. I'm going Emmett plus 190, Wells at even money, and then Donald Cerrone minus 175, or is going to be the three fighters I'm backing this week. Amy's got Lozon plus 145. Go ahead and pronounce that next name for me, Amy.
Dolice.
Dolice plus 200, and then Rodriguez minus 185. Alex has, can one of you pronounce that name? Cutelazze plus 135, Buckley plus 180, and then Yanez?
Yes.
Minus one, minus 310. It is a little bit, I will say, a little bit of a chalky card, a lot of lopsided odds. And then Reed is going McGee minus 120, Oliveira plus 220, Kelly plus 245. Reed's really taking some shots and some dark horses this week. So there you go. That is the UFC Austin bet draft. Can I keep my streak alive? Yes. Will I? Yes. I will be going, what, 3-0, 4-0? Is it the three-peat, the four-peat? I don't know. Any final thoughts about UFC Austin before we wrap things up? Unfortunately, Rob wasn't able to join us, obviously in the middle of a weight cut. He weighs in 12 hours, fights in 48 hours, so I'm not going to blame him. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
Watch PFL
Friday night. ESPN, is it just the main ESPN channel, or is it like ESPN Plus?
I believe it's just Tawny. She's PR's right here. ESPN. The big one.
Wow. The big one.
Straight from PR, ESPN.
Love it. Straight from PFL, PR, the big ESPN. Tune in Friday night. Get a double dose of MMA this weekend. PFL Friday night, UFC Saturday night. Tune in. And back my bets if you want to make money. Don't listen to these other folks. I am the defending, reigning, defending, undisputed, uncontested champion of the MMA UFC draft. All right. We'll wrap things up. Thank you, everyone, for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. And we will see. I will not be here next week. Reed, Amy will be, and we'll see if they can get on, a guest for the show. I will be on vacation starting tomorrow night. So I'll see you all in a couple weeks. Reed and Amy will see you next week. So good luck with your bets this weekend. Enjoy both PFL and UFC.